Guten Morgen, ich hoffe, Kollege Olsen.
Good morning. I hope Mr. Olsen will be able to handle the situation. A question on your dividends philosophy. Your distribution has been stepped up, no wonder, because of the year 2009, but you're still below your intention. So you seem to have enough money, 9 billion liquidity. Why did you not really push the situation further? And why did you not distribute the way you originally intended to? Did you just want to have a step so that you can step up the dividend again next year? And you said the net liquidity is important. Now, I mean, are you using all the rest of the funds for investments, or do you intend to acquire projects, or what are your intentions? Well, thank you very much. Dr. Eichiner, please. First, I think we can really say that it is a clear-cut step that we're showing here compared with previous years. And we are relatively rapidly moving along the 30 to 40% target corridor. But it is also a fact that we have to prepare for future investments. The Board of Management is right now involved in a strategy process. And I think we'll look at a long-term period. And, of course, investments are likely to happen, but, of course, always within the framework of our target quota for development and investments. So I think it would be premature to talk about how much money could be distributed in the future. Mr. Magenheim-Hörmann and Mr. Kronig then. Mr. Magenheim-Hörmann, please. Two questions on figures and a real question. Mr. Reithofer, you announced the participation of your workforce, 1.6 monthly salaries, but that doesn't really mean anything. How much does that mean in real money? And can you give us the figures for the development of the current year? And the important question on carbon strategy, you said other manufacturers are emulating this example. So can you explain how you feel about this? Is this a hostile activity? And how do you, the SGL cooperation, do you want to hold on to it if VW have bigger plans? Of course, you should not contradict a journalist. The first two questions go to Mr. Krüger, and the last question with SGL, Mr. Reithofer. Mr. Krüger, could you start? Of course, we are very pleased that on the basis of the successful year 2010, we can let our workforce share in the success of the company. This is a share in the profits, 1.6 salaries. We informed our workforce, our associates last week what this means to them in monetary terms. I do not want to give you a true figure because, of course, the question is always what a group of associates does that relate to the ones covered by collective bargaining agreements or others. So 1.6, I think, is a figure that allows everybody to do his or her math, and it's a nice share in the company's success above 2009. So the development of job numbers, we had a moderate decline in 2010 because of old age workers and other people who left the company. But of course, in 2010 already, we hired new associates. And this year, we will do this even more. Perhaps at the end of the year, we will have more than 1,300 new employees globally, half of them in Germany. We will have 400 apprentices in Germany that will be taken over into the regular workforce, and 1,080, almost 1,100 apprentices will be hired globally, and 100 people from our junior trainee program. So we will invest a great deal in people who are competent, who have been trained here, who have their qualifications from us and also from external places for electromobility and CFK, etc. We require this type of manpower. Mr. Reithofer on SGL. I'd like to repeat what I already said in Geneva. Of course, at BMW, we followed VW's step with a great deal of interest. And, of course, you have to see this in front of the appropriate backdrop. For months, we were told, if I remember correctly, more than a year, that BMW's carbon strategy was totally wrong. Steel, aluminum were the appropriate materials. And now we have learned also because of this step that, strategically we were on the right track, because this is really a confirmation. That's what it amounts to. And now on your question, how do we feel about the action of the others? Well, we do not think that this step really means any deterioration of our joint venture with SGL. Why not? Well, you have to look at the entire chain. The plant in Moses Lake is a joint venture, 50% owned by SGL, 50% BMW. The same is true for the Wackerstorff company in Landshut. We have a 100% BMW-owned company where the press work is done, and the vehicle will then be produced in Leipzig. So two plants are ours and two are half owned by us. So we believe that this will have no repercussions. And as I said before, we feel that this is an interesting step for others to take, for because for months on end, we were told BMW was on the wrong track. Obviously, we were on the right track. The next request for the floor, Mr. Kronik, and then Mr. Goswami, if I see that correctly. Mr. Kronik first, and then Mr. Goswami. Well, two questions. Your savings targets have been achieved earlier than you expected. Will you have a new savings program? And the next question is your financial result. There is a special write-off of 260 million for a joint venture or participation company. What is that all about? Mr. Eichiner? Well, I believe we don't have to have a new savings program. The targets that we have achieved have to be kept and sustained. Processes have to be developed, and whatever concepts have been set up, the modular sit-ups, etc., will have to be continued, and then we'll have the results that we had anticipated. That was one issue. The other one, this participation situation, well, that is Husqvarna. There is a strategic realignment. We will give up the focus on the off-road area, and for this reason, expenditure will come up, and of course, we'll have to do some changes, and that is the reason for this figure. The next, Mr. Goswami, please, and Mr. Schaefer.
I've got questions regarding the impact of Japan on BMW's performance in 2011, and three quick questions. Japan accounted for 3% of your global sales, and it was your biggest single biggest market in Asia until 2006. Did you have any special plans for Japan for 2011? Have you done any assessment of how these plans will, how the disaster in Japan will influence these plans in coming months? C, how does the global branding of BMW as a premium car work in a market which is massively disaster-struck? Thank you.
Let me... Ian Robertson is the right person to answer.
As you heard right at the start from Dr. Reithofer, at the moment we are assessing what's happening in Japan. Our thoughts are with the people there at the moment. From a business point of view, I think it is rather unclear as to what impact on the market or what impact the disaster will have. So I think it's much, much too early to assess what will be anything of an impact in 2011. Having said that, Japan is a very important market for us. We have a strong reputation there, and we've seen increasing performance over the last couple of years. And our hope, of course, is that the country returns to some form, and I stress that, some form of normality as quickly as possible.
I had a third question, which was, you know, given your global branding of BMW as a very premium product, how will it work? Will the same branding and the same campaign work in the Japanese market in coming months and perhaps the whole year?
As I said, it's much too early to assess what impact will the current situation in Japan have on the future. Very clearly, we are a premium brand, and a premium brand today and tomorrow. So from that perspective, our business model is very, very clearly understood in Japan as it is around the rest of the world.
Gut, vielen Dank. Als nächstes.
Thank you very much. Then Mr. Schäfer and Mr. Patankar. Mr. Schäfer, please. First, I'd like to ask a question on Japan. Could you tell us what workforce you have in Japan, how many associates, and how many of them are expats? You've said 50 staff that have been flown out. And can you tell us how big your local workforce is? And then following up this, a general question, do you feel that there are any repercussions on the global economic growth because of the disaster in Japan, or what is your attitude, what is your expectation? A third question that concerns a different topic, that is raw materials. Dr. Eichin, you pointed out that you feel that there will be repercussions on the business results during the current fiscal. That surprises us a bit if you compare this with other car makers who said that they are fully protected for the entire year and they feel that there are no problems, and some have even made profits because of raw materials hedging. So what did you do wrong here? All right, let's start with the last question on raw materials. Dr. Dees, please, could you give us some basic input on raw materials? As Mr. Eichiner has just pointed out, as far as base or non-ferrous metals and precious metal we are concerned, we're pretty protected, but there are price hikes which concern rubber, steel, etc., and manufacturing of these products. So we ore and coke coal is available, but we do expect that there will be a negative influence because of the development of the raw materials in the low-digit million context for 2011, which, however, by productivity increments in our supply chain, we intend to more than compensate. Mr. Eichiner, could you? To my knowledge, one of our main competitors in the south of Germany says that they have a clear burden because of the raw material prices, a high three-digit million figure. So I believe that others aren't doing all that well either. Now, Japan, once more, the number of associates, the number of experts. Mr. Krüger, please. In Japan, we have a workforce of a headcount of 800. About 40 of them are expats. And as the Board of Management, we've decided very early on to create a crisis management team. And we also offered to our associates very early on that we would transport them to the southwest of the country with their families to give them, provide hotel accommodation, etc. We've offered our expats to be flown out of the country together with their families. This has been done. The families accepted our invitation. I can confirm all families have arrived happily, safe and sound with all their children, and they are now with their families or in hotels in Germany. We've also seen to it for our associates who were traveling to Japan from Korea to Japan, for example. They also flew home safely, and we're supporting our local workforce continuously. And right now, of course, they can travel to the safer southwest of the country. They can go to the hotels if they so wish. And we're following the situation very carefully so as to do whatever is possible. Third part of the question, repercussion on the global economy. Mr. Reithofer, please, sorry. Well, the repercussions on the world economy, to try to forecast that now would be premature, but let me just simply say, what is our attitude? What situation do we expect? Well, we have to look at the market first of all, which is one of the 10 most important BMW markets. That's one side. As Mr. Robertson has just told us, we have to wait for the repercussions to happen, how fast normality can be re-achieved. Will it take months? We do not know. And that, of course, will be decisive for the market development. On the other hand, if I look at the car industry, you know that we have international supplier networks, not just BMW, but also other car manufacturers. What we are seeing right now for electronic components, for example, what does it mean for our German plants? If certain electronic components are not available for days or perhaps even for weeks, if they are not coming from Japan, what does that mean for our production output? So these are two issues on which we're focusing right now, our supplier relations What do we have by way of such relations with Japan, and how fast will Japan return to normality? Repercussions on the global, on the world economy. Well, just like you this morning, I also looked at the news. I watched the news, and some economists said that the repercussions might not all be that great. But I certainly do not want to share any of these forecasts. We have to wait for at least a week. Supply relations, well, Mr. Dees can give us more input on the suppliers. We have no direct repercussions or effects, but as Mr. Reithofer said, there are second-tier supply relations with Japan. We're just now analyzing that. And I think within 7 or 10 days, we'll be able to come up with a reliable forecast on the possible effects. Well, thank you very much, gentlemen. Mr. Patankar, please.
Good morning, gentlemen. Multiple questions, actually, for three of the gentlemen seated up there. First, to Dr. Reithofer. You talked about the recent investments into the Indian market. For the current fiscal, that's 2011, and the next fiscal, 2012, do you have a proposed outlay of investment further for India? And if you can share that figure. And also any internal decision on the mini-brand strategy for India. Also a question for Mr. Robertson. Dr. Reithofer mentioned in his speech that the second-generation 1 series arrives later this year. Has the development of the car taken into account emerging markets, and do you see potential from sales point of view in India for that second generation? And lastly, for Dr. Dees, purchasing from India, has there been an increase in the last fiscal? And also, do you see any of those purchasing options helping the Indian operation as well, as far as increasing local content is concerned in Chennai?
Good. Vielen Dank. Wir beginnen vielleicht mal Investment Indien mit.
Thank you very much. We're going to start out with Mr. Arndt, investment in India. As Dr. Reithofer has already said in his speech, we've spent 17 million euros in terms of capex in India, and we are about investing a further 16 million in a second tranche. So that means we are investing massively in our Indian capacities. And in a first step, we've increased capacity from 5,000 to 10,000 units, and further steps are conceivable. Okay, Ian Robertson.
Substantial growth in the last 12 months in India, around 70%+, of which we're delighted with that performance, particularly being the market leader. We continually look at what models would be appropriate in that market, and it would be fair to say that as the market has grown so substantially, we will look at other models that could be introduced. At this point in time, there is no definite plan for that, but I wouldn't rule that out in the year ahead. Moving on to 1 Series, absolutely. 1 Series is a world product. It takes into account emerging markets, mature markets, in exactly the same way as all of our products. And again, we are always looking to see how markets develop, to see what is possible.
Gut, letzter Teil der Frage, Herr Dr.
Last part of the question will be handled by Dr. Dees. Well, we've got a relatively small purchasing team in India, which has been in place for several years. They mainly carry out sourcing activities for our motorcycle division. The local content is gradually increasing for our automobiles. In order to enlarge this sourcing volume, we believe two main conditions have to be in place. First of all, 2.5 million units have to be produced in the market in order to make sure the supplier structure is competitive at the market level. India has reached this figure because we're seeing a supplier industry that is becoming more and more stronger, and our production volumes might increase to 50, 70 units per year. And then, of course, it would be worthwhile increasing our sourcing activities, but production-wise, we're still far away from that. So we're still seeing an increase in our sourcing activities, but this will be in line with our growth in the Indian market.
We've increased our network from a dealer point of view substantially over the last 12 months, and we are now working on a plan that will roughly double it by the end of 2012. Which will make a much broader network, obviously, to support the growth that we foresee in the marketplace.
So, als nächstes Herr Kort und dann.
On we go with Mr. Corden and Mr. Jan Wiley. I got some questions on the strategic corporations. With BSA, you're going to expand your cooperation. Perhaps you can elucidate us on that. Obviously, you're very happy with this type of cooperation. Well, very specifically, this is about expanding the joint development of hybrid drives, electric drives. Are you going to set up a plant in the future? If so, where? Then the next question deals with the cooperation, purchasing cooperation with Daimler. I heard that purchasing has been able to bring about considerable savings. Perhaps you can give us any figures on that for the cooperation with Daimler. And the next cooperation question is related to SGL. The Project I vehicles are planned to be delivered with carbon-based passenger compartments. Will you be integrating these kinds of technologies in other models too? Okay, loads of questions. We're going to start out with Dr. Reithofer on the cooperation with PSA and expansion. Well, of course, Mr. Kort, we're very happy with the PSA cooperation because if not, we wouldn't have taken the next step. As you know, we've been producing four-cylinder engines with PSA for quite some time. With Mr. Baraf, together, we signed an agreement, which means we're going to continue to develop the four-cylinder engine to meet EU6 requirements, which means that this four-cylinder engine will be integrated in our product range at least till 2016, which also applies to the PSA side. That's the first step. Second step, we were saying if we got a car manufacturer like PSA with around 3 million units, and then there's BMW with 1.5 million units, or perhaps 2 million for BMW in the future and 4 million for PSA in the future, then we've got more substance to generate economies of scale and to also share R&D costs, especially when we step up our investment in electromobility. Here we're talking about high voltage storage or accumulators. It's about the electric engine power electronics, etc. And we believe this is the right, consistent step to take. So we need to bundle the efforts and the strength of two major European car makers. So that's the one thing. Then a joint plant. Well, we're going to, first of all, start out with two components or two parts. One part will be dealt with in France. The production plant is will be situated in Mulhouse. Not right away, but once the production process is in place. And on the other hand, the BMW development GmbH and purchasing will be headquartered in Munich. But very clearly, we're going to have a plant together, a shared plant, and it's going to be in France. Then I'd like to hand over to Dr. Dees for the savings potential with Dr. Daimler and then Dr. Dräger on the SGL cooperation. Dr. Dees, well, the sourcing partnership with Daimler has become a day-to-day routine. We meet very often and discuss projects that do not differentiate or are not great differentiators for the two brands. So, well, of course, purchasing decisions are architectural relevant and have a long lead time. So we are going to see significant effects from the Daimler Corporation as of 2011-2012. So the previous savings will not be impacted, but we still see this type of cooperation to offer or expect this cooperation to offer major savings potential. Now, Dr. Dräger, as far as the passenger compartment is concerned, I can tell you that the BMW i3, the megacity vehicle, and the BMW i8 will be equipped with an all-carbon compartment, passenger compartment. If you take a look at our current portfolio, then you'll realize that in our M range, we already included carbon fiber components. And I don't really want to rule out taking over carbon components and not just exclusively using those for I and M. So this might be, well, an option for us in the future. Mr. Jan Wiley and then Mr. Fasse. The market share in China, BMW's market share in China has been greatly increased. What is your expectation? When will you be the most important premium manufacturer in China? Can you also make some comments on the number of units planned for 2011 in China and the development of the dealership network? Again, the question was, when will BMW become the most important premium manufacturer in China, and some figures on the number of cars to be sold and also the development of the dealership network. Now, I'd say as far as cars and dealership network is concerned, we're going to hand that over to Ian Robinson, and then Dr. Reiter is going to talk about the premium car make question.
Development in China over the last 12 months or so. The market grew substantially, and the premium market grew even stronger. From that perspective, as we come into this year, we anticipate some strong double-digit growth, but what we don't anticipate is the same level as 2010. We think the market will slow somewhat, and I think there are several indicators that point to that being the case. I think it's also very important for us, and you heard in the introductory speech, that we have a very balanced portfolio of sales across the world, which balances the traditional markets and all of the new markets, not just the China market being the largest one. So from that perspective, we do have very, very strong growth plans for other markets outside of China as well. In terms of the dealers, it would be fair to say that China has been the most rapidly expanding market. We moved up last year from circa 150 dealers to around about 200. We will take that up again during this year, and we will enter a number of cities where we're currently not present. There is definitely for us an advantage to being early introductory, or to be introduced early into a particular area or market or city. And you will see another growth in our dealerships this year, probably to the same level as we've seen during 2010. I think that was it.
The second one, zweite Frage oder zweiter Teil der
second part of the question, when will you be the most important premium car maker in China? Dr. Reithofer, please. Now, what we're currently doing in China is the following one. We are expanding our production capacities. That means we gear up for further growth in China. We used to have one plant in Ladong, and this is where we produced a long wheelbase version of the 5 Series saloon or sedan, and now we are building up another plant. My colleague, Mr. Arndt, is about doing that with his team. This plant will also be operational in the midterm, and these are the prerequisites for further growth in China. But you were also asking, when do you wish to be the largest premium car maker in China? And I'm saying, would that be even the right target for BMW Group? We want to be premium in China. We'd like to generate adequate revenues per vehicle. And once we're able to do so, and if we then are somewhere between Audi and Mercedes, then it will be quite okay for us. We're right in the middle between those two. Audi is in the lead right now because, historically speaking, they've been present in the market for a longer period of time. Then there's BMW, then there's Mercedes. I believe, and I'm saying, the target has to be a proper or an adequate revenue, average revenue per vehicle. We do not necessarily term this as our top goal. Over to Mr. Fasse and then Mr. Sun Lee. Yes, Mr. Reiter, I wanted to return to SGL again. The first question is, what is your view of your future with SGL if Volkswagen now also holds a share? Do you believe that there'll be a clash with this competitor? Are you already having talks with them so as to find out what is in the pipeline? And second question, do you believe Volkswagen is going to increase their share? Then there might be a Volkswagen representative in the supervisory board. And the third question would be, what would a supervisory board representative from Volkswagen mean for BMW? Would then there be a drain or knowledge that would be used? And that would be drained to Volkswagen. Well, we're still very much relaxed. Over to Dr. Reithofen. Well, I'm not frightened to see that. We are observing the situation quite clearly so, but right now I don't really want to answer such a large number of speculative questions. Well, whether or not they're going to be represented in a supervisory board is something I can't tell you. Whether they're going to raise their stake is also something I cannot really answer. So these questions are all speculation-based. It's too early to provide you with an answer to that. Well, carbon fibers are an important material for us. No doubt about that. We're going to use it on the megacity vehicle and the i8, the plug-in hybrid sports car. Mr. Dräger already answered Mr. Kort's question. We could also imagine using carbon fiber components in our core vehicle range. So, after all, this is very important for us, but it's still too early to come up with specific answers to your questions. Please bear with us. But if you need to have good photos, then you also got some, because the earphone stuck. Over to Mr. Sun Lee and then Mr. Pretzlaff, please. One question on investment and capacity. At the beginning, you said that you are investing 400 million and 250 million in Munich. And you said becoming number one in China is not your top priority. But of course, you compete against Daimler and Audi. And Dr. Zetsche said that their top priority would be to ramp up to 300,000 units in 3-4 years' time. And Audi is in the same ballpark, really. That is why I'm asking the following question. What is your current capacity? I know that you are building a new hall in China, a new plant in China. And, well, will this be completed? Do you plan further investments in China? So let's ask Mr. Arndt to answer the production-related question. Well, as you know, we started with the construction work last year for our new plant in Songxi, and this is a plant that in a first stage will be able to produce 100,000 units in a midterm. But of course, we also try to analyze and try to design a plant in such a way to ensure that it can keep up with any further capacity requirements or growing capacity requirements. And in Ladong, that is the operation that we run together with our Brilliance joint venture, we have some space available so we can also react and respond in the future in the short term. Then over to Mr. Pretzlaff and then Mr. Akawi. I hope I pronounce your name correctly. Over to Mr. Pretzlaff. Yes, I got one question, and on your temp labor, you were saying that they are very important. Agency labor is very important. What is the development there? Then the number of units sold, you were saying that the number you are striving for is 1.5 million. But this is a figure that applies across all brands. What is the figure for BMW? Then Mr. Dees. I'm not quite happy with your answer as regards to cooperation with Daimler. We knew that there are some specific projects as regards to cooperation in terms of energy issues. Now you're talking about a major potential for the future. Can you be more specific about that in order to let us know in which areas these potentials will be tapped into? Now let's start out with the Daimler Corporation. Dr. Dees, please. Mr. Pretzlaff. Sure. Well, cooperation is always a cooperation between development and purchasing because the product definitions and architectures need to be specified in a joint effort. But still, I'd say cooperation with Daimler is not really that spectacular, but it's very efficient because we focus on things that are not key differentiators as far as our product and brand recognition is concerned. That is why it is important for us in this partnership to have a large number of projects that tap into savings potentials, but that do not have an impact on the customer's perception of our products and of Daimler's products. I'm saying that because the number of projects is growing constantly and new projects are added constantly. But having said that, I'd really like to leave it at that. Second question, sales for BMW, Ian Robinson, and then agency labor, Ian Krieger.
Is that we want to see an increase and an all-time record for each one of the brands. So last year, BMW did just over 1.2 million, Mini did 234,000, and Rolls-Royce did just over 2,700. So all three brands will increase, and as we said, we want to significantly break through 1.5 million cars this year.
Good. Danke, Ian.
Ich sag deutlich über 1,5 Millionen.
Clearly above 1.5 million units. Last part, Mr. Krieger, please. Mr. Pretzlaff, allow me to put it in the context. What we're seeing now is a high level of volatility in the sales markets. We presented that last year. We had a great deal of growth before the crisis, but we also saw many ups and downs. Now, in the BMW Group, we actually cooperate with the Works Council. Mr. Schoch, the Works Council chairman, is here, after all. They are our partners in order to ensure that we have very flexible working time models. In the crisis and also in times of a high demand, we greatly used the working time account schemes. We had positive and negative accounts. So within the BMW Group, we are able to respond to volatility. Now, let me just pick 2010. Mr. Reithoff already broached upon this. In the first half, we had some level of underutilization, and the fourth quarter then presented us with an all-time high. So you can already, you know, have some insight into the flexibility, the level of flexibility that we need to boast here. And our staff is greatly committed to be that flexible. As far as agency labor is concerned, it's not really worthwhile giving you figures because there you have to respond very flexibly to seasonal requirements and fluctuations, because right now we are producing more convertibles. In spring, the weather is nice. So temp labor, agency labor is a clear tool that we can use. It's a flexibility tool that we use, but it's one of many in order to deal with the volatility and the market fluctuations of the future too. Okay, thank you very much. Then there's Mr. Akawi and then Mr. Doll.
Yes. My question is...
Where are you?
I'm here.
Ah, yeah.
My question is for Mr. Robertson. How has the situation in Egypt impact first your assembly operation there, and how did the developments in North Africa affect your approach to the market in that part of the world? This is the first question. The second question, how much does the Middle East represent of your total sales, especially that your top model ranges basically reached record sales lately in the Middle East? And third, the volatility of the commodities, especially the oil prices. How does BMW basically mitigate the risk of this volatility on its numbers? Thank you.
Vielen Dank. Ich glaube, wir beginnen mit.
Thank you very much. I think we start with North Africa and Middle East. Ian?
With Egypt, obviously, we had a shutdown of our factory there for around about a week, just over a week, in fact. It is back running now, so we are producing again in Egypt in normality. Our dealerships in Cairo and in Alexandria also had a disruption during the period of unrest, but both of those are now back up and running as well. So from our perspective, Egypt is now back on track from a sales point of view. As regards the region as a whole, we sell around about 18,000 cars in the Middle East. The Middle East includes 14 different countries, from the GCC countries through to, of course, those in North Africa and the Levant. We've seen good growth there in recent years. Unlike many markets, what you see there is 7 Series and X5s are the biggest selling products. So if you added up all of the 7 Series sales, there would be 4,700 sales last year, which makes it a big and important region for the 7 Series. But having said that, I think most of the markets in the region have seen good growth over the last several years. And whilst we are always looking at what may be happening from a political point of view, at the moment, we see the market potential still there during 2011.
Gut, zweiter Teil waren noch Rohstoffpreise.
Second part, raw materials prices. Dr. Eichinger, please. Well, you referred to mineral oil. Oil is not very relevant for our production of our cars, so it is not necessary for us to use financial instruments in this situation. But, of course, it has a considerable influence on the purchasing behavior of our customer base, and their important connections indeed. We know from our experience in the United States, if the oil prices go up beyond a certain point and if the filling station prices are high, people give up bigger cars, they buy smaller cars. We've experienced this before and during the crisis, and it could happen again. It would then obviously also affect our business. Right. Mr. Toll and then Mr. Chaturvedi. Mr. Toll, please. There are two questions, one probably to Dr. Dräger and one Mr. Krüger. After the happenings in Japan, I think nuclear power attitudes are likely to change. And Mr. Dräger, that might also have repercussions on the electro car strategies of BMW and the entire car industry, and certainly also the electromobility platforms. Because, I mean, what good would the best electromobility car serve if you use power for it that comes from coal power stations? And a question to Mr. Grüner, how many of your associates are already in the southwest of Japan, and do you have contacts with all of your people, including the dealerships? Can you reach them? Are they accessible? We know from Japanese car makers working here in Germany, Honda, for example, they cannot reach half of their people in the crisis region. Right, let us start with Japan. Mr. Krüger first, and then Dr. Dräger. Now, as far as the dealers are concerned, we have not been able to contact all of our dealers. There are 2 or 4 in the north of the country that we could not reach so far, but that needn't be negative news. But, of course, because the telephone connections and there are blackouts, so it is difficult to reach some areas. And as far as our associates traveling to the southeast are concerned, it is not such a big number. But, of course, this number changes all the time. I'm sure during the course of the day we'll have an updated figure, because people volunteer to go there, or they can decide whether or not to stay in Tokyo or whether they want to move south. To try to give you a time would not be appropriate, because I think there are hourly changes. It changes from 1 minute to the next, as a matter of fact. And, of course, we're monitoring the situation very carefully. But what I can tell you, this option has been made available very early on Saturday already. We told our local workforce and the expats that they could go to the safer southwestern part of the country. Mr. Drake, over to you. Well, the first topic, I think Mr. Schäuble has already given you a very clear-cut question. It is the energy industry and politics. But let me talk about electromobility and electrical energy. I'd like to emphasize that we've said all along for electromobility, it is decisive that electromobility is operated with a sustainable electricity. This position of ours has therefore not changed at all. Right. Then we'll continue. Mr. Chaturvedi and Mr. Leclerc. Mr. Chaturvedi.
My question is on hybrid and electric cars. Where does India stand in your ICDs?
Where are you? Here. Ganz hinten. Yeah.
So my question is on hybrid and electric cars. I want to know, where does India stand in your ICDs and hybrid car project, considering that hybrid cars are currently available in India and Indian government is promoting the use of electric cars and hybrid cars in India?
Ich glaube, Herr Dr. Dräger, können wir da was dazu sagen?
Could you comment hybrid cars, e-cars, situation in India, their promotion, etc.? Let me respond as follows. So we have a projection. We said in 2020, we believe that between 5 and 15% of cars will have electric operation and which will use electric power, which also means that 85% of the vehicles will have combustion engines. And for this reason, we have to intensively also work on our combustion engines. And it's been our target in the years ahead to step down the fuel consumption by another 25% until 2020. Our efficient dynamic strategy also includes the hybrid vehicles. Hybrid vehicles have been launched with the XX Active Hybrid, the 7 Hybrid, and this year the 5 Series Hybrid will be launched and other hybrids are there to follow. In 2013, we will very consistently follow what we've done with Aya and Mini Eyes. We have 13,000 test kilometers and large series tests with the will be started. And in addition, on the one hand, cars with conventional engines, we will have a rich portfolio of hybrid versions. And then we will have cars with electric motors beginning with 2013. They will be offered by us. In addition to that, also sporty vehicle with a plug-in hybrid with the i8 BMW. Now, the promotion on India at this juncture, I'm afraid I cannot offer any comments. I can add, we're negotiating with the Indian politicians. Of course, we cannot tell what direction these talks will have and what conditions this will mean for India as a location. Talks are going on and we'll know more in the next few months. Mr. Leclerc, please, and then Mr. Yu. Mr. Leclerc, please. Well, thank you very much. A question on temporary or agency workers. You said it doesn't make any sense to give you figures because we are interested in figures. So perhaps Mr. Reithoff, you can say this. I mean, if you put your stakes on agency work when you say at the same time that innovative and highly motivated are what you're trying to achieve. And if you have people who don't have a long-term perspective with BMW, and your presentation, you said repeatedly that you succeeded in getting better purchasing prices and that you want to follow this situation. What does that mean for the suppliers in Germany, especially here in Bavaria, especially when it comes to prices that you will pay, and what does that also mean on other international markets for suppliers to Germany? Will they have to face a tougher competition? Thank you very much. We'll start with the last part of your question concerning the supply industry. Dr. Diess, please. As far as material and production costs are concerned, 3 years ago we had a lot of work to do to catch up. So in strategy number one, we addressed this issue. After 3 years, we can say that we have achieved our targets, that we now have purchasing prices which are adequate. You see also our margins, especially during the last quarter. We're about on the level of our competitors, and so we also have a competitive level of production costs. And so this catching up program can now be finalized and or finished. And of course, there will be effects in the supply chain, which will be similar to those of our competitors. On a global basis, the suppliers are always trying to enhance their efficiency. But of course, you can also see when you look at the figures offered by the supplying industries that the suppliers have left the crisis in a very strengthened way. There's been a lot of consolidation going on, and in the supplying industry, a lot of money is being made. All right, back to temporary or agency workers. Mr. Krüger, I'd like to repeat once more that we do not want to quote any figures. I'd like to explain this on the basis of an example. We had a situation last year in Dingolfing and in Leipzig. We continued to produce with the exception of 1 week because of the additional demand. But we allow our workforce to have 3 weeks of vacations in one stretch. So in August, we have more of these people so that the people who worked a lot on Saturdays are also given the opportunity to have a long recreational holiday. And so in August, we have more temps. In September, the situation changes. So if you have to take into account the seasonal fluctuation, so it doesn't really make any sense to offer any figures in this respect. Mr. Yoon and then Mrs. Chen, please. A question on Korea. Japan is a neighboring country, and of course we are quite afraid if, for example, do you have people in Korea who want to return to Germany, or people who want to fly to Korea from Japan? And as far as the market is concerned, Korea is a fairly small market as far as the total volume goes. However, the growth rates are 73% plus. Do you want to extend your dealership base? And SP Motive is your Korean partner, especially when it comes to ecological projects. So if you look for new partners, how many suppliers would that include? And my last question now, you have mentioned, you've said bricked instead of brick. Now, this also indicates the significance of the Korean market for BMW as far as sales are concerned, and also in the supplying industry. Are there further possibilities or issues that are important for the Korean market? Is the Korean market a type of test market for Asia for you? Well, thank you very much. Let us start with Korean associates. Let me add at this juncture, I was in Korea 3 weeks ago. For us, it is a very important country. It's one of the truly important markets, and that is why it's also included in the BRICS definition, more than 60% growth. We have a great crew there, a great team, and I think we have 70 people in the National Sales Organization and for Financial Services. I mentioned a minute ago that 18 Korean associates had traveled to Japan, to Tokyo, and on Monday they returned safely to Korea. And we also worried about them, and we created the necessary possibilities for allowing these people to return to Korea. Korea is an important location. About 140 or 150 people work for us there. Now, growth rate, dealer network, Ian Robertson, please.
Harold just said, we view the market very strongly. In the last year, we grew very substantially ahead of our original expectations. We see further growth this year. So I'm very confident that the Korean economy is in a very strong situation, and in particular in the Southeast Asian context. We have the majority of our dealers around the major cities, and we will be making investments, or our dealers will be making further investments to expand their operations, particularly in the service and after-sales area, given that the market has grown so quickly over the last couple of years. So we will make further investments in the overall market, and there will be some additional new dealers in the country as a whole.
Gut, letzter Punkt, Espili Motive, Herr Dr. Dies.
Espili Motive, Dr. Dies. I think there were two questions. One, the supplying industry, generally speaking, the Korean suppliers are becoming more and more relevant globally, especially because of the internationalization of the Korean manufacturers. That is to say, many of the suppliers have in the meanwhile set up production facilities in Europe or in the United States. They have an excellent combination of high quality, innovative strength, and also very stable and lean processes, so they have a competitive edge. And for this reason, they're relevant also for us, United States and Europe in particular. A second aspect is the technology leadership, which I think goes to Korea in batteries, lithium ions, cells, etc. And for this reason, we decided that our battery cooperation should be done with Espili Motive, that is a joint venture with Bosch and Samsung. So we focus on them. We're highly satisfied with the development. The cell plant, which is set up for us, is within time. It meets all the deadlines, and we feel that this will offer us a competitive advantage. And the high technology status in communications, in displays, etc., in Korea is very high, and Korean manufacturers have in the meantime achieved a very high competence worldwide, and that is why we use more and more Korean suppliers.
Dann haben wir als nächstes Mrs. Chen.
Next, Mrs. Chen, and then Mrs. Weimer. Good morning. I come from China. I'm here as a journalist, and it is a great pleasure for me to be able to address my questions to you. You recently were in Japan when the earthquake hit the country. Were you still in the country, or were you already sitting on the plane when the earthquake hit? I believe you were really lucky to have survived safe and sound. You already announced in Beijing that the sales volume of BMW cars would be increased from 120 to 160,000 units in China. And you were saying yourself that the sales volume will not be the key thing for you. It's more important for you to make sure BMW is a brand that is generally accepted and well accepted by the Chinese. What kind of experience can you share with the Chinese in order to improve the understanding of Chinese consumers? Now, who was in Japan when the earthquake hit the country? And the second question was about the sales volume in China, market positioning, and the importance of the brand. Now, up front, nobody of us was in Japan. This was just about the German staff, our German associates that worked in Japan. None of the board members was in Japan. I very much hope that there was no misunderstanding created by the translators. Then the second question, as far as the brand positioning is concerned, will be answered by Ian Robinson.
Strongly again this year, but not at the same rate as last year. Both for BMW, for Mini, and for Rolls-Royce, we expect all three brands to move forward. And I think that's the important issue here, that we want to build our brand position. So developing our market presence, ensuring that the cars are understood, ensuring that the 7 Series is the flagship of the range for BMW, are clearly market or high performance market performers. All of these issues are to develop our future in China rather than one year's particular sales result. I'm delighted to say that when we look at some of the brand understanding, BMW is higher than many of the other competitors in the global premium market, and our intention is that we will continue to develop that further. So you will see our brand proposition being widely communicated and communicated into cities where we currently are not present, into all forms of media in those respective cities as well. And I'm confident that we can continue to see growth for all three brands in the Chinese market during this year and into the future.
Gut, vielen Dank. Wir haben jetzt noch knapp 10 Minuten. Bitte um Verständnis.
Thank you very much. There are roughly 10 minutes to go. I still got a whole list of questions in front of me. We're probably not going to be able to answer them all. We might then be able to perhaps clarify the rest over lunch. So there's 10 minutes to go. Next, there's Mrs. Wehmer and then Mr. Fromm. Mrs. Wehmer, please. I think the lady's left the room. Then Mr. Fromm would be next on the list. There you go. Yeah.
My question is for Dr. Rithofer. You said that since December 2010, BMW Motorrad has been active in Indian market. Can you share some more information, since India is one of the biggest motorcycle market? What are your plans for dealerships and models for India in motorcycle segment?
Also wenn ich das für richtig verstanden habe, Motorrad in Indien und...
If I understood that correctly, motorcycles in India and the perspectives for production. And I'd like to hand over to Dr. Dräger because he's the one to be responsible for motorcycles within the board. Well, in the last year, we launched motorcycles in the Indian market. The Indian motorcycle market, however, mainly focuses on the segment below 200 cubic centimeters. And as you know, we focus on the segment above 500 cubic centimeters. And with Husqvarna, we are now launching our efforts in a smaller but leisure time oriented market. We sold high volumes last year in India, and we also increased the number of our dealers, and we are thinking about expanding the business this year. Now, Mr. Fromm and Mr. Sousa, I got two follow-up questions. The first one for Mr. Dees. Mr. Dees, before you were saying that you mainly source electronic components from Japan, and you are looking into what kind of components are affected. Can you give us an estimate? What is the percentage of suppliers in your global network? And then one follow-up question to Mr. Reithofer. You were very much reticent in your answer as regards SGL. And at Geneva, you are saying that prior to Volkswagen's entry in SGL, you hadn't talked to Volkswagen, but that was 2 weeks ago. Have you talked to Volkswagen representatives in the meantime? Well, Mr. Winterkorn and I have talked in the meantime. I can be very open about that. And we were talking about this issue and about our views of this issue. It was a 4i discussion, and that's that, as far as I'm concerned. Dr. Dees, well, of as far as Japan is concerned, we have to differentiate here. There are some first-tier relationships on transmissions, gearboxes. This is less time-critical because this is usually handled and transported through sea freight. So the deliveries for the next few months have been produced. So here we depend on how Japan handles the crisis. The picture is different for the second and third tier level, because this is about components, semiconductor components for our control systems. Here we still need to analyze the situation more closely because we don't have any direct supply relationships there. First of all, we need to analyze our first tier relationships. This process is ongoing, and I expect this to bring results in 7 to 10 days, and then we should be able which kind of electronics components will be affected. And you were talking about the volumes. The volumes are rather small. Now, Mr. Sousa and then Mr. Saro. Mr. Sousa, please. Rear left-hand side, that's my information. Mr. Sousa, Mr. Saro, Sousa, 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 yeah.
Mr. Saro.
Yeah.
It's Mr. Sousa.
Okay, sou eu.
Ah, yeah. Okay, please start.
O Brasil
se tornou no ano passado o segundo país com maior crescimento da BMW no mundo. Mas o Paris ainda não tem uma fábrica.
Apesar de ter mercado.
Sorry, this is Portuguese, and Portuguese translation is not being provided. Perhaps the gentleman can speak in Spanish or English. Brazil has become the second largest or second most important country. And has also become a very important country for BMW. Now, people are talking about whether or not the production plant could be set up in South America. Could this be headquartered? Okay. Now, South American production facilities. I'd like to ask Mr. Arndt to answer this question. Well, Brazil really is developing into an important market for us. And right now, we are closely analyzing, intensely analyzing how we can become active as a local player in Brazil. We haven't as yet taken a final decision, but I believe I can tell you here and now that we're going to take a final decision this year, and we're also going to announce it accordingly. Ian Robinson might be able to share with you some information on sales as regards Brazil.
Brazil has become a very important market for us. We increased last year very substantially to around 10,000 units. That's circa 8,000 BMWs, 2,000 Minis. We see very good growth this year. We've increased our dealer body during 2010 by around 30%, so it's now running at just on 30, and we're now looking at taking that up substantially further. We have a lot of investments, particularly with the Mini brand, as that was only introduced some 2.5-3 years ago, and has risen very, very quickly in the marketplace. So as you just heard my colleague Frank Peter Arndt says, we view Brazil as a very important area for our business in the future, both from a potential production site as well as a growing market. And you can read into that that both of us will be spending more time in Brazil as we go forward.
Gut, danke schön, Mr. Saro. Und dann Mr. oder Herr Brehm.
Thank you very much, Mr. Saro. Then Mr. Brehm.
Your sustainable products and the AI project, will that project and its products be also marketed in growth markets like the Middle East and other countries? Thank you.
Dr. Dräger.
Now for the sub-brand, for the BMW i sub-brand, sustainability is a key issue. Sustainability, on the one hand, relates to the production of vehicles, then to the materials the vehicles are made of, and thirdly, to the level of energy consumption or current consumption or energy efficiency. And we're not just going to offer these cars in Europe, but also the world over. Ian Robinson.
It is a product that we're developing for the world. And we see this type of potential in most markets around the world, not just in the high metropolitan areas, but also in countries which maybe in the past have not been that focused on more fuel efficiency. But I think this is coming. This is a trend which is here to stay. And particularly as issues like the oil price start to move upwards, which over time they will, I'm sure that these type of vehicles will have a place in every market around the world.
Vielen Dank Ihnen. Letzte Wortmeldung, Herr Brehm.
Mr. Brehm, a short follow-up question on the question from the Brazilian colleague. You already got some production facilities at Manaus, small-scale ones. Will that be more than a CKD plant, or will it stay a CKD plant? Mr. Arndt, that's your big opportunity now. I'm going to take this opportunity, Mr. Schubert. Yes, you always start out with a CKD production plant in order to enter a market. And depending on the demand situation, the further development of the market, you will then have to be able to further expand and add to the production facility. We got some experience in this regard, and that is why we're going to follow our tried and tested approach there. Okay, thank you very much. Colleagues, I'd like to thank you most cordially. I would also like to thank the many international colleagues for their questions. This concludes the Annual Accounts Press Conference for today.